And now, broadcasting from their secret hideout, Checkpoint XP presents a show about comic books and superheroes. Robbie Landis, Joe Sloan, The Other Identity.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Glorious Grotto. Of course, as always, I am your host, the Great Landis, joined by my sidekick, the Joe Boy. And
the Joe Boy. Wait a minute.
What?
It's never been the Joe Boy. It's just Joe Boy.
Well, whatever. The
it's
Joe
not
Boy,
Batman
Joe
and
Boy.
The Robin.
You know what? He might have had less problems if he had just had a Robin with him.
It's not Superman and the Superboy.
Fine, Joe Boy.
Thank
my
you.
Apologies.
Get it right. That's all I want.
And joining us is a special guest today on The Other Identity. We are joined by Norris Howard, a.k.a. the Bougie Bahamut.
I'm cool with that.
The Bougie Bahamut.
Bougie Bahamut,
yeah.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
That definitely seems like a season 4 addition to the cast.
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yep.
When
yep.
they do
and
the expansion to the greater universe.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I'm
that's
only
right.
in 2 episodes.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Every time we have a guest on the show, they get another identity.
All right.
I like that.
That's the way it works. Of course, with Norris here today, you may be able to guess what we're going to be talking about because he's been going on and on and on about it for the past few months or so. And that's Marvel's most recent reboot or new take on the X-Men.
That's
House
right.
of X, Power of 10. He has been at us constantly.
I'm a big fan of this thing.
What do you guys going to talk about Hoxpox? I can about this week we talk about Hoxpox. Let's talk about Hoxpox. Well, guess what, Norris? We're talking about Hoxpox.
I'm excited for us to talk about Hoxpox. Are you okay? You seem
no.
very everything's really
no.
Up
my
here.
Apparently
kryptonite.
The Great Landis is not immune to disease.
Yeah, my
you
kryptonite
sound,
is
you sound
allergies.
Like a, you sound like
so.
A Muppet.
Great. Yeah,
does,
no,
he has
I'm
a little bit of a little Kermit going
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Not feeling so good today. So I'm glad that you're here to help carry the show.
That is
not,
true.
I would not put it in the hands of
yes.
Joe Boy.
Yes, it is I, Robbie the Landis.
So, where do we want to start with this then? Because, House of 10, Power of X, that's basically... It was 6 issues each.
Yep.
Two series that kind of went hand in hand with each other, really.
I wouldn't say kind of. They definitely
well, yeah, they're,
did.
They're, I feel you, like if you tried yeah. to read just one or the other, you're going to be missing out on quite a bit.
I don't even get no camera?
We're swapping between them.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Our 2-shot and then your shot.
My bad.
Don't worry about it. I read House of X, Power of 10, issues number 1, kind of thinking like, I wonder if I can get away with just reading one of these. And as soon as I finish the Power of 10 number 1, I'm like, nope, I got to read them both. There's
yeah,
no
yeah.
way
and,
around
and,
it.
And something, too, that I had a bit of trouble grasping, and obviously this is something that was intended for just the way that it was set up, is when you first go into it, you do feel a little confused, like what's going on. There's
yeah.
a bit of overload. And the reason why at first I was a little worried about that is a problem that comics have, especially Marvel and DC with all their crossover stuff.
Yeah.
You know, where you're going in and it's like, okay, am I supposed to purposely be kind of in the dark here, or should I have gone and read sort of what
yeah,
came before?
Exactly. And, you know, this was supposed to be a sort of a hard reset on the world of X-Men, because X-Men have been pretty stale for the better part of a decade now.
And better part of like 20 years.
20 years ago, you still talking about, you know, Fear Itself and X-Men versus Avengers and stuff like that. That
yeah,
stuff
close.
Was good.
House
yeah.
of M?
House of M.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really more about 10 years than 20 years. That was disrespectful.
You see what I have to deal with?
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
You're right. This was pretty much a complete reboot on them. And they did this with, in my opinion, kind of one of the most unlikely characters, but in what I think was a genius way, and that's Moira McTaggart.
Yeah, and so if you're... first of all, we're about to spoil the hell out of this.
Oh, yes.
So,
spoiler warning.
So the main crux of the House of X, Power of 10, or Hoxpox for short, the main crux of it is Moira McTaggart is usually been in X-Men a human being, a human ally to mutants, usually Professor X. They usually, you know, bump uglies a few times, and they're just still chill. But it's been revealed that Moira McTaggart is actually a mutant who is reincarnated every time she dies, now, and it resets the whole of the universe.
Yeah, now there's an interesting caveat here, because normally reincarnation just means you're born into another body. She's not just born into another body in the same timeline. No. She actually resets her life, and as we go through the first sort of few issues, or I forget exactly which issue it was that shows this, but it actually goes back and shows you a few of the different canons. Like, you know, you remember some of these different storylines from the years past, and so it sets up this idea that Moira, from life to life to life, has been keeping these memories and trying different ways to execute whatever it is that her plans have been.
You've got her timeline where she tries to really ally herself with Xavier, and that doesn't work. And then you've got her timeline where she goes with Magneto, and then you got her timeline where she's just kind of like, fuck it, and blows everything up.
Where she allies with Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Where she tries to delete the X gene.
Right. So she's tried a bunch of different things, and it keeps on failing. And now she's like, in this most recent timeline, the one that the storyline kind of takes place in.
Well, the storyline still kind of takes place in multiple timelines still, because the conclusion that she comes to, now realizing and accepting that she's a mutant, is that the whole mutant versus Homo sapiens is that mutants always lose
every time,
and on a long enough timeline, everybody loses.
I mean, it's not necessarily everybody loses, and this is the big argument that I've been seeing amongst people who.
Well, yes, the machines didn't lose, I suppose.
Yeah, amongst the people who, because Powers of Ten really go super far into the future,
a thousand years
into the future. And it's not necessarily a lose, because humanity had gotten to a point where they no longer needed natural evolution.
You know, those two dudes that Nimrod vaporized. Yeah, try and have that conversation with them. Nobody really loses, guys.
I'm saying in the sense of, you can't say humanity lost because they chose to ally themselves with this machine, you know, over God, if you will.
Nimrod.
And some of them might have, but I don't know if everyone was in on that decision.
Well, no, because they're a hive mind at that point.
Yeah, no, I think once the AI, 2 points that you've made on previous shows, once the AI was born, whether that was humans' intention or not, it was out of our hands, mutants or humans.
So the story of House of X and Powers of Ten is the story of the conclusion, and House of X is the story of the beginning. So right now in X-Men, all the stuff that we're about to get in the coming weeks is all the stuff that's in the middle of those two bookends, pretty much. And, you know, going back to Moira MacTaggert, there was a huge gap, because they explained to us like 7 or 8 out of her 10 lives or something, but there was a big chunk missing in life number 6. And we find out that it is that 6th life where she finds out essentially everything. Yep. And it is, she's lived for 1,000 years. Wolverine also has lived for 1,000 years. And they find out that essentially mutants always lose. She goes then, she gets reset. And it seems like Wolverine is always Moira MacTaggert's reset button. If you look at how they've explained it, Wolverine more often than not is the last person around to like kill Moira and make her.
We saw two instances of that happening.
We saw two instances of that. So I feel like there's
I would argue that Pyro had a pretty good one too.
Yeah, but I still feel like there's a reason why they explicitly showed that Wolverine is the one. Usually,
yeah,
like,
well, he was another big part of the puzzle to make it happen, right?
Yes.
Like understanding the full picture so that they could try and change their destiny. Wolverine was 100% a part of that, because without him, you know, they had mentioned in that 6th life where they had lived basically to the bitter end, she was able to do so because he was basically doing blood transfusions with her.
Yeah. And so she got the healing factor, essentially living forever. So they hit the reset button, they go back, and what starts off this whole thing in House of X is she tells Charles Xavier to read her mind.
Yep.
Which is something she had never done before, and he sees everything. He knows now the truth that mutants will always lose.
His way never works.
His way never works. Magneto's way never works.
Yeah, neither of them. Both of their ideologies will fail.
Will fail. And thus, they have to come up with some sort of new way, some new ideology that they've never thought of before, ever. And their resolution is to create, essentially, mutant heaven, the mutant garden of
mutant
Eden.
Casablanca.
Yes.
Well, it's not just creating a haven for mutants, because they've done that in a past.
Yeah, Genosha, yep. Asteroid M.
Yep. The point here was to sort of take a little bit of what Charles wants and a little bit of what Magneto wants and kind of fuse those two together. You know, that humans and mutants can still live in harmony on the planet, but humans need to accept mutants as the superior race, because we are, mm-hmm. and if you let us do that, we're also going to help you in some way.
Yeah,
and you're currently listening to The Other Identity. If you happen to be catching us live, we appreciate that, but if you're not, and you've just downloaded it, you can do that every Thursday at 3 p.m. over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
So here we are on The Other Identity Day talking about House of Ten and our House of X Power of Ten. We have the Bougie Bahamut Norris is along with us. And Norris, talk to us a little bit more now about why or how the fusions of Charles's dream for the world and Magneto's dream of the world sort of came together in the compromise that the two of them had.
Because it is really interesting, too, to see Charles have to function in a world where he can't. Charles has always been like this pillar of ideology, mm-hmm. and to have that all torn away from him and have to now function in a world like it can't be perfect.
Yeah.
It's got to be good enough.
And it really, in my opinion, is the best part of the series. Seeing, you know, Charles and his sort of machinations in forwarding this dream. And it's brilliant because Magneto and Charles have rarely been on the same page as each other, but they fully are on the same page, and that almost never happens.
Well, there's a really great moment where I think you really see the concessions that Charles have made, because what's the name of the island or
Krakoa?
Krakoa, that's right. Krakoa has basically allowed them to create this pill that they're going to give to humankind.
Yeah.
That basically cures everything and extends your lifespan for 5 years.
Yeah, you get five years on your lifespan. It adapts to bacteria, so it's a perfect penicillin.
Yep.
And it
cures cancer as well.
Cures cancer and mental degenerative
diseases. And there's this line that Charles has where he says, "In the past, I would have given this to you freely to show our good faith, but not this time. You're going to have to do something for us."
And essentially what that is Charles and Magneto saying, if you want these drugs, you have to recognize Krakoa as a nation, as a sovereign nation.
And you have to amnesty all mutants.
You have to all of them.
You have to say, you have to amnesty all mutants, because mutants no longer subject themselves to the laws of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to grant Krakoan citizenship to all mutants all mutants who manifest, basically.
Yep. Yep. So you have to be a dual citizen. So even if you don't necessarily go live on Krakoa as a mutant, you, by birthright, are a Krakoan citizen if you're a mutant.
Yep.
And that is part of the concession that was made by many, 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 many nations.
I think all but, like, 12.
All but 12, principal of which one of them is Wakanda.
Yeah.
Because literally in big, bold letters, Wakanda does not need mutant drugs.
Yeah.
We got our own.
All the other ones are, like, political, ideological reasons that they won't recognize Krakoa as a sovereign nation state. And yeah, literally you get to Wakanda, it just says does not need mutant drugs, and you're like, fair enough.
Pretty fair. But to your original question, Robbie, in terms of the blend of the two ideologies, I think that's what it is. So by having all mutants being recognized as citizens, you get sort of Xavier's dream of getting everybody to be sort of harmonious, right?
And safe.
And safe. That's the key thing. And safe. You can't be persecuted because you don't want Cyclops and them getting at you. Now, Magneto's dream comes in because you say all mutants, therefore, are amnestied, which essentially Magneto never wanted to function under the law of man in the first place.
Yep.
And so that is the two biggest blend of those ideas. And on top of that, they bring all of these mutants to Krakoa through these awesome portals. Everybody gets there. They have a big party, and immediately after that,
including major names like Apocalypse and Mr. Sinister,
yeah,
and like people who typically don't get along.
Yeah. Which, how awesome was the moment of Apocalypse getting to Krakoa and saying, "Oh yes, I know Krakoa.
Yeah,
I know it. This
I know
is
it well.
My old friend." And he looks at Magneto and Xavier and essentially says, "You two have done what I've been trying my entire existence to do."
Yeah, because Magneto asks, "Are we going to have a problem?" And he says, "Why would we? I've spent my entire existence trying to get literally this done."
Yeah, although I will say, in the last few issues, you know, when it's going around showing everyone at this big party having fun or not, there is still something a little bit
amiss,
sinister about the way that Apocalypse is just kind of sitting off by himself. Like, sure, his goal more or less is there, but I don't know. There might
be some tension.
There might be some resentment that he wasn't the one that was able to do it. But the other two big points I want to make sure that we get to about here, which I think are some of the biggest sort of tent poles of this. The first is Moira finding the sort of the crux of the situation. Where does it always go wrong? And that's with the advent of AI.
Yes.
That's where it always gets out of control.
The master molds and essentially the Sentinels. The master molds and the mother molds,
yep,
and the Nimrods. Eventually.
Yeah. And so the X-Men are sent on a mission to the point in time where if we sever this thread, it should hopefully as far as they can tell for now, should end the threat of the AI. And that's, yes, going into space where the is it the master
the mold
creates the mother mold, right?
No, it's the mother mold. What's, that creates master molds.
Master mold is like the top one.
No,
the mother mold is. Mold. So that's what I mean. Yeah, so they have to destroy the mother mold to stop it from creating more master molds, which again is just sentinels everywhere and eventually Nimrod.
Yeah.
By the way, awesome tech levels. Apparently we are able to mine mercury at this point. That's pretty cool, and put
a space station directly next to the sun,
right by the sun. You're like,
whatever.
Wow, this is some great tech, man.
But whatever. So this suicide mission goes down, and this is very early on in the series, by the way. This
one
is
of
like,
the fourth books, I believe.
Yeah, I think this is like issue two of.
No, it's further than that.
Is it two or four?
It's one of the fourths.
Yeah. It's like House of X number four.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So it's fairly early on, and they go and they do this suicide mission, and essentially, major players die. Wolverine, Nightcrawler, Mystique, Cyclops, Jean Grey, all
Archangel,
of them dead.
Everyone who
Archangel,
goes up there.
All of them dead.
Yep, they all die.
They all die. Everybody's sad. Wow, this is terrible. And then we get back down to Krakoa, and we see now that mutants have, in a very roundabout, convoluted way, have found a way to literally cheat death.
Yeah, so they've got what's his face who can make
golden balls.
Golden balls.
How did you forget his
gold
name?
Ball.
Yeah.
Gold
so
ball.
So it turns out they're actually eggs that he's creating.
Yep.
Using another one of the mutants, they're able to
Proteus. Basically five mutants that by themselves is like, well, your power is super useless.
Right.
Yeah.
Have come together and then partnered with Cerebro in Charles, who can now back up people's entire identities.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can reincarnate and remake basically any mutant if they've died.
Yeah, so he literally recreates the mutants as they were right before they left for the suicide mission, and they're just fine.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, apparently we can do that now.
There's a lot in... more than we were going to be able to go over this entire episode,
definitely
do yourself a service and go and read House of 10, Power of X. But then there's one final thing that I want to get into, which we're going to here in just a second. We're going to take a quick break, guys, but we're going to be right back to talk about what the end of Power of 10, House of X looks like and what that could mean for the future of the X-Men.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I want to thank you guys once again for downloading or listening live to The Other Identity. We're talking about Hox Pox today, the most recent reboot of the X-Men. We're joined by Norris here.
Hey.
And I think the most interesting thing is how this sets up for everything going forward, because the X-Men mutant kind now have an entire nation in Krakoa. And at the end, we see that they've started to develop their government, right? That they have these...
I love that part.
What is it? 12 seats. And then you also have Forge and mm-hmm. Krakoa itself.
Right.
But to see the different people that they've put on this council, you have Xavier, Magneto, and who else sits at their table?
Apocalypse.
And Apocalypse at sits the, at one table.
At the
That's Winter.
No, the problem children are all in the winter table.
Yeah, that's fall.
That's fall.
Autumn.
Yeah. You have Nightcrawler, Jean Grey, and who's Storm. The third one? And Storm on another one.
Summer table.
Yep. The problem child table is Sinister.
Exodus.
Exodus and...
And Mystique.
And then the final one is dedicated to the Hellfire Club, essentially.
Yeah, the Hellfire Club. Emma Frost, her other person that she wanted, and the third person who's not been named yet. We don't know who
it's
will end up being.
They said basically just go get Sebastian Shaw.
He's just not there
yet, but they say go get Sebastian Shaw, you, and then you pick one other person.
Have they revealed that third person, though?
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not recalling it right off the top of my head.
No. I mean, it's heavily alluded to.
I got you. Okay.
Heavily.
So they are essentially the government now of Krakoa, and one of the first things that they do, and this is one of my favorite scenes, is they judge and make an example of
Sabretooth.
Of Sabretooth.
He's
the first one to be judged by the council, and you know, I mean, their first law is unrealistic.
No, their first law, by the way, that they create, ironically, given everything, is thou shalt not kill humans. Basically,
don't kill humans.
No mutant shall turn his powers upon a human. Basically.
Yeah, but their golden rules are don't kill humans, respect Krakoa as basically the promised land, and make more mutants.
Yep, and they don't manifest destiny.
Yeah,
they don't kill Sabretooth though. They basically drop him into an endless pit.
Yeah,
yeah. You get to exist in eternity, unable to move, but completely aware of what's going on. I'm like, well, that's a little cruel and unusual. Yeah,
but Sabretooth's coming back at some point, guys.
The coolest thing about that is that, like, Sabretooth's basically yelling, like, oh, I'm going to kill you all and eat all your body parts. And the two, and Emma Frost and Jean, in my opinion, a complete flex of power. Because Emma Frost says, quiet. Because she's essentially telling him to, you know, psychologically shut up. And he kind of still is fighting it. And Jean is like, quiet. And he goes, he just turns into a drooling idiot.
Yeah.
And so that panel is awesome. But the future of this series is going to be so cool. New X-Men is going to be great. And each book is going to have sort of a different feel based on sort of what branch of the Krakoan mutant society or government that it is.
Which brings me to my final question, which obviously we know the answer for you, Norris, but Joe.
Yes.
You know, we started reading Spider-Man and are like into it now,
issue by issue.
We cannot wait. Mm-hmm. Do you plan on staying up to date with the X-Men after this?
Not issue by issue. It'll be book by book. So, like, what is that book about? 5 issues?
Yeah.
Something like that. Basically, as a new book comes out, I'll read a chunk of the story at a time.
So I think that's a good way to consume it, right? Because there's like 5 books coming out.
Well, and that's like, yeah, exactly. I don't want to read literally a book every week. And I mean, I just binged Hox Pox. I binged all in a day, which is how I like to read stories typically. And I mean, I came through it feeling like, probably like a lot of people did, whether it's Hox or Pox, I really, really enjoyed House of X and
kind of like Powers of Ten.
Yeah. I'm like, all right. It was basically like, read Powers of Ten so I can get to the next issue of House of X for me.
Yes.
Like, that was like, and it's because at the end of the day, X-Men's always very interesting because of its sociopolitical nature. Mm-hmm. So seeing how they're trying to form this new nation state and how they're working with like the you know, non-mutant nations, that was all super interesting to me. And then you've got all this stuff happening in the future where I'm like,
hard to kind of follow. My problem was always, should I be understanding what's going on right now? Or is
am I meant to be in the dark?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Am I just too dumb, or am I supposed to be naive?
Yeah, no, but it's going to be, I agree with you guys. Powers of 10 is not my favorite.
Yeah. House of X is incredible.
House of X is brilliant and some of the best stuff I've read from X-Men in a long time.
See, one of the issues that I'm having with, because again, I think the overall event was great and was masterclass, and I think definitely sets up a new future for the X-Men. But had I gone into this let's say I'm a new comic fan, right? I don't know a whole lot about the X-Men. I go into this, and I think the draw that I'm missing from huge set pieces like this as opposed to what draws me into Spider-Man, is I don't feel much of a personal connection to anyone, right? Mm-hmm. For example, historically, Cyclops is kind of a dick, right?
Yeah.
But what we see of him through Hoxpox, I don't think that you would really draw a lot of that
Cyclops,
out of there.
Cyclops became a dick because of essentially he and Xavier having a difference of opinion.
Sure.
Eventually, Cyclops sided with Magneto because of a collection of really bad events.
And at the end of the day, because of events that didn't happen in this timeline.
Yep.
I think one thing that I do agree with you on this point, Rob, I think one of the things that Hoxpox does suffer from is by the virtue of how many characters we see in it.
Of course.
Yeah. No one gets the development you really want. It is hard to form attachment. Like, can you tell me what the honest to God difference is between like Storm and Wolverine in this book?
Not right now.
Oh, Storm had such a small role.
Right, a lot now, of the X-Men are very samey because none of them get the time they need.
Well, and that's why I think it's really intelligent to use a big event and then break off into the smaller books.
Oh, yes, of course.
Because
of course.
I've already read New X-Men 1 and Marauders 1, and there's a ton of development in those already. And those are just the first two books. We still haven't got Excalibur, or Fallen Angels, New Mutants. So there's still like three other, four other books that got to come out. X-Force.
Which is the whole other problem that I have with comics sometimes. But I think, like you, Joe, I'll probably wait till these stories finish and then binge them all at once instead of trying to keep up on a week-by-week
basis.
Yeah,
I'll pick some. I don't necessarily think, like, I've never been interested in New Mutants ever.
Right. I mean, only the biggest fans are going to be reading all of these books at once. It's like when DC did Rebirth, right? You picked your four people you really wanted to follow.
And you followed those books.
Only a couple of psychopaths followed every book.
Like, I'll probably read New X-Men, X-Force, and Excalibur.
Right, because that's so interesting. Where does people like Deadpool fit in with this?
Yeah, that's a good question.
With Krakoa, like...
Interesting.
It's a good question.
There's a ton of questions to be asked,
dude, which, by the way, like Marauders, the first episode, there's a development with one of the major characters that you're just like... Oh, that's going to be real interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well,
what's it going to be like when the Avengers have something to say about all this?
For sure. And, you know, the next excuse that we have to have you on and talk about this, Norris, we definitely will. But for those of you out there listening, we want to thank you once again, whether you are live or whether you downloaded the podcast. Thank you so much. You guys can connect with us on social media. That is Checkpoint XP on Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter. That's going to be it for us today. Joe, go ahead and take us out.
Will you be checking out the new X-Men universe? Will we all remember this in our next lifetime? Tune in next time, same Twitch time, same Twitch channel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.